chapter 7. Again, you're going to find links on the power with persecution or comfort with compromise article on the Great Joy and Great Tribulation website. There are a number of links, and I recommend all those links that you get them and put them on an MP3 player, but somewhere along the line, listen to all those links, because they'll give you tremendous reinforcement. They'll give you that confirming witness from two or more good sources, and they'll help you understand these things. Henry Gruber's vision of the two angels in Rome tells us some very important things for this time now. When we see Ken Copeland and other leaders in the so-called Word Faith movement dining with the Pope in Vatican, Roma, we all should know that there is real, genuine power of God by His Holy Spirit. We should know that. And we should also know that there is a world full of counterfeit spiritual power manifestations that are not of God. Revelation 17 speaks clearly about this great apostasy and abomination. There are three parts to the gospel of salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. All three are essential. They are justification, imputation of Christ's righteousness, and sanctification. We are saved by hope and justified by faith. The will of God for His children is sanctification, walking in submission to Him, and having victory over sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and his demons. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3-5. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should know how to abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. The will of God is clear. We are to press on to perfection. Sanctification is that growing in grace process. Peter gave an order of this growth, and we are to know him. And not just know about him. He has given us great and precious promises that do little or no good if we do not know what they are and if there is a condition upon which they're based. We are to, by his Holy Spirit, partake of his divine nature, having been given power over all the power of the enemy. However, there is a condition. We must exercise our will to turn away from the corruption of the lusts of our flesh. We have this great faith in precious promises of God, and to this we add virtue, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. And to this virtue we add knowledge. Knowledge of what God said, rightly divided, in context, with the diligent determination to do what God said just because God said so. That's the real faith that honors God. And we'll see His exceeding great mighty power manifest. Regarding real faith, the rest is, by comparison, pretty much phony baloney, which will not endure and be able to stand in this evil day. We all have an apostolic anointing from the Lord Himself, giving us the Holy Spirit. John Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. We all have this apostolic anointing if we are truly born again. We do not need new apostles with new doctrines. Rather, we need to walk in the apostolic anointing of all believers to know and walk in the doctrine of the apostles, which is one and the same of the doctrine of Christ. Apostolic succession is a very great lie. It is a great lie. Apostolic succession is a great lie designed to keep believers from walking in the manifest power of God in their apostolic anointing to bind and loose, to remit and retain. Indeed, we have been given power over all the power of the enemy. However, if we receive the lie that we cannot have a demon in our flesh, that power is rendered null and void because we walk in deception and deny the truth. The victory of the believers, which gives glory to God in the name of Yeshua, is the casting out of the devils. Believers cast them out. Non-believers are deceived and do not cast them out. It really is that simple. The way of the believer in glorifying God, who is manifest in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil, is in receiving the truth, acknowledging the truth, and walking in the light of the truth. Then we also know that we will see manifest that we have been given power over all the power of the enemy. We have the power to put down the lust that entice us and draw us away from God and into sin, which is transgression of God's laws. 2 Peter chapter 1, 3 through 11 really expresses this. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see far off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. But strong meat belongeth unto them that are of full age, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, or of doctrine of baptisms and laying on of hands and resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this will we do, if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Chapter 8. Where will you go to get the truth? our Lord, as he was in agony, literally sweating blood, was found to be praying for us and told us where we must go for the truth. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There is no other way to seek the kingdom of God. We read his word and are taught by his Spirit to know better what the king said today than we knew what he said yesterday. For the kingdom of God is established by the words of the king. The words of the king is what establishes the kingdom of God. John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. As we go on to perfection, we must know how to handle heresies and heretics. How is it that believers, or people presenting themselves as believers, continue to be allowed to teach heresy? One word is vanity. Another word is ignorance. Today, the choice of compromise with comfort has been made by all except a very small, faithful remnant minority who will do exploits. There will be few who choose the power with persecution, because to walk in his manifest power will bring persecution. You will pay a price for it. You will suffer for it. And there will be few who choose the power with persecution to go on to walk in his power, binding and loosing, remitting and retaining for his glory in these days of greater works. The majority today indicates a need to be born again, or to be born again through the grace of God found in repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We get truth from rabbis who have never been born again to receive the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit of truth. We get truth from Vatican Roma's Pope, their hierarchy of Rome, their tradition, or any of the denominations and leaders who would have fellowship and be joined to the mother of harlots. You're going to get truth there from any of these denominations, like Ken Copeland and all the denominations in the World Council of Churches, which join themselves to the mother of harlots. Will you get truth there? I tell you, sooner or later, you will be deceived if you go that way of seeking the truth. The one whose name is called the Word of God, who is the truth personified, said not to go there. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. No matter how much good stuff they may have at other times taught, no matter how good of a show they may have put on, no matter how great the parties are that they can throw, no matter how fancy their garments may be to deceive, it's time such false teachers be rebuked and exposed and called to demonstrate some fruit meet for repentance. We're warned that in these last days of strong delusion, even the very elect would be deceived if it were possible. How's it possible? The answer is, men of God fail to publicly rebuke and mark such false teachers. Men of God fail to publicly call them to repent for their false doctrines and false teachings. Men of God fail to insist that such teachers, yes, all of them, use the God-promised perfect and only Holy Bible in English, the Authorized Version, the KJV. They need to be publicly rebuked if they're not using that. You will find it common among such deceived deceivers that they do not use the authorized God-promised purified seven times. Every word perfect, holy Bible. They will promote some Hebrew rooty-tooty Bible or just about any profane Bible other than the holy Bible, because Scripture, ignorance, and confusion advances their personal agenda. Brethren, these are perilous times and days of strong delusion. Today, anyone presuming to teach the people of God from any Bible other than a KJV must needs be suspect and should be ashamed. Just because it's Hebraic or rabbinic does not make it good and or true. This is a New Testament commandment of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. We've been given the means to prove what the truth is by the God promised and only perfect Holy Bible. We do not go to the alternate renderings. And we certainly do not want to go to those in the Mishnah or the Talmud, God forbid, or God forbid, the Kabbalah. Those writings were of men who did not and could not have had the Holy Spirit of truth in them. Under the leadership of Kenneth Copeland, the entire so-called Word Faith movement has proven itself to be apostate by adjoining to the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Watch for a quantum increase in the pretended signs and wonders, the manifestations of Jannes and Jambres, and let no man deceive you. Beware of anyone presuming to have an improved Bible. Do not support or tolerate teachers who claim to be messianic believers if they would question Paul's apostolic authority, if they would question the authority of the books which Paul wrote in the KJV Holy Bible. And that's especially true of the book of Hebrews, which was written by Paul under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of truth, specifically to messianic Jewish believers. If they wear rough garments or special garments to deceive, watch out. Why are they wearing these special clothes? Watch out if they would teach the New Testament was originally written in any other language than Greek. Watch out, child of God, if they would have the slightest problem in confessing that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. You watch out. If they would say that Jesus is not a wonderful and powerful name, watch out. If they would say, I am anointed, you watch out. You watch out. If they would say, I am anointed as a prophet or some special, unique teacher of God, beware of any church that has any association with the World Council of Churches or the National Council of Churches, or if it has a 501c3 tax contract with the state. It then becomes a business. It becomes a business where, by signed written contract, the Lord Jesus Christ cannot be the Lord of that church. The state is Lord of the churches which have such contracts. Jesus can only be Lord in a virtual way. You beware. Zechariah 13:2 and 3. It shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesieth. It shall come to pass in that day that the prophets shall be ashamed, every one of his vision, when he hath prophesied. Neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive. Brethren, we are without excuse. We have the God-promised, perfect, authorized KJV Holy Bible. We're without excuse if we have not read that KJV version the way God said to read it. Every word, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, so that we may know what God has said in context, rightly divided. It's the responsibility of every believer to identify and call the false teachers to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, not alternate renderings, not the Mishnah, not the Talmud, and certainly not the Kabbalah. We all should recognize an important command of the Lord to every one of us in these last days of strong delusion. The Lord instructs us to genuinely love the false teachers by calling them to repentance. Luke 17:3, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. What if he will not repent? That would almost preclude restoration, wouldn't it? We forgive him anyhow, but there can't be any restoration if he will not repent. Then, biblical love requires this discipline, regardless of whether or whatever other good things that they may have done or taught. Titus 3:10 and 11, a man that is an heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. It is precisely because these biblical disciplines of genuine love are not being followed that the deceived deceivers will be coming to judgment and destruction. It is precisely because these biblical disciplines of genuine love are not being followed that it becomes not only possible but even appears easy for even the very elect to be deceived. Heresy is a self-chosen belief in opposition to the Holy Scriptures. That self is a key word in the identification of heresy and heretics. The Holy Bible makes very clear distinction between simple or uninformed or ignorant heretics and damnable heretics. It should be noted that before God did provide himself as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world, the Torah called for the death penalty for certain serious violations of the law of God. The reason for this necessity before the coming of the kingdom of God in the person of Messiah Yeshua is that there was no other way to break or limit the extent of the curse. Demonic license was gained through certain serious transgressions of the law of God, and the demonic host gained a legal right to destroy the people of God through the power of the blood of Messiah, the Lamb of God, prophesied by Abraham and Moses. All curses may now be broken. And thus the need for the death penalty for such things as gross sexual sin, false teachers, false prophets, witches, it's not required. Their foot shall slide in due time. Should be understood that if a heresy becomes accepted by the majority as being a true belief, that does not stop the heresy from being heresy. And that's why the understanding of heresy and how faithful remnant believers should deal with it is so important. The last days, we do know, will be marked by a worldwide famine for hearing the word of God. The last days of the Antichrist war on the saints will be marked by a great apostasy, a great falling away from the faith. That means that heresy will be the majority belief, as the majority will depart from the faith. 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Titus 1:9-11, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able to by sound doctrine both exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. 2 Thessalonians 2, 8-12. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Self-chosen beliefs that contradict or deny God's inspired revelations contained in and easily confirmed by the more sure word of the Holy Bible is the basis of defining heresy. The heretics oppose themselves by self-chosen beliefs in opposition to the Word of God. Often the heresy of the heretic may be the result of never having read the Holy Bible, or having been taught to believe error by a false teacher. Such simple heretics, when confronted with the truth of the Scriptures, may be led by the Spirit of truth and holiness to put aside their false beliefs in preference to the truth of the Word of God. However, when the heretic is given the first admonition, often the demonic characteristics associated with many heresies will manifest. That demonic spirit may be a spirit of rebellion or a religious spirit, in addition to pride and envy. And after the second admonition, the heretic, yes, even the simple heretic, is to be rejected. Let me say that again. When the heretic is given the first admonition, often the demonic characteristics associated with many heresies will manifest. That demonic spirit may be a spirit of rebellion or a religious spirit, in addition to pride and envy. After the second admonition, the heretic, yes, even the simple heretic, is to be rejected. As we look at what the Holy Bible says, there are different types or levels of heresy. In Acts 5:17, 15:5, and 26:5, it simply means a party or a sect, or what we call a denomination today. Yeah, denominations are sinful by their very nature. It is a separation that is not necessarily of God. In Acts 24:14 and 28:22, it's used in a slightly derogatory sense, referring to Christians being separatists or sectarians by the more mainstream majority of the Jewish rabbis. Paul used the term heresies to refer to groups which threaten the harmony and unity of the church in 1 Corinthians 11:19, for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are proved may be made manifest among you. The heresies were described by the disgraceful way in which the Corinthians were observing the Lord's Supper. Paul would sometimes use the term heresy as the source of factions or divisions. In Galatians 5:20, we're clearly told that heresy is one of the works of the flesh in the lists among those with strife and seditions and envyings. You see, self is really the key word in understanding heresy. Invariably, heretics are people who choose to place their own desires above the fellowship of their brethren, or even the love of the truth, as defined by the Word of God. In Titus 10, 3 and 11, we're given direction regarding heretics and how we're to deal with them. In context of these verses, it has to do with quarreling and dissensions. The froward person will even invent things to separate brethren from one another. Heresy and factions go together. In God's kingdom, there is no such thing as a little rebellion. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and obedience is better than sacrifice. In 2 Peter 2:1, we see what the clear difference between heretics and damnable heretics involves. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. The damnable heretic clearly refers to the false teachers or false prophets who deny the truth of the person and work of Messiah. The damnable heretic is one who has left the doctrine of Christ. The damnable heretic does not recognize Yeshua the Messiah as God the Son. The damnable heretic is different from the simple heretic or Jew, in that the damnable heretic has departed from the doctrine of Messiah. Most Jews, because of persecution by so-called Christians, have never really been exposed to the doctrine of Messiah or the doctrine of the apostles. Most Jews have not departed from the doctrine of Christ. Heresy may have much to do with fellowship within the church, and it could have as much to do with that as it does with doctrinal teachings. If the heresy is not damnable heresy, okay, doctrine and actions are equally important. Wrong attitudes such as a counterfeit religious spirits and spirits of rebellion and improper attitudes are as important as the depth of understanding of what God has revealed to man. However, in 2 John 7 through 11, we see that we are not even to say God bless you or bid God speed, and most certainly not give substance support to the damnable heretic. In those few verses, we see precisely what defines the damnable heretic. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him God speed. For he that biddeth him God speed is a partaker of his evil deed. We see that the damnable heretic is one who has departed from the doctrine of Christ, more so than one who has never had opportunity to know. And tragically, the vast majority of Jews do not know their own glorious Messiah because of how they have been persecuted by so-called Christians under the leadership of the black witchcraft Babylonian religion of Rome. Sadly, the Protestants never protested this and have often followed the lead of the heretic apostate Roman Catholic Church. The vast majority of Roman Catholics have never read the Holy Bible. The vast majority of Roman Catholics are in the same blindness of the pagans, the heathens, the Hindus, the Muslims, the Buddhists and the other religions who are trying to find eternal life in a different way other than in the doctrine of Messiah. The damnable heretic is one who has known or had previously professed to know the real Messiah, who is both God and man, who is both creator and redeemer, and now professes a Messiah who is less than fully God and equal with the Father, power, in authority, and in eternity. The damnable heretic now professes a different Jesus other than the real true Jesus Christ, who is God the Son, the I Am, who spoke to Abraham and Moses, who is both creator and redeemer. The damnable heretic professes faith in another Jesus and another gospel. Galatians 1:8. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than ye have received, let him be accursed. Muhammad's in hell, and he's leading every Muslim on a straight path to hell, unless we can give them the truth to set them free of that satanic bondage and psychosis known as Islam. A sad reality today is that within large messianic congregations of over 100, one will generally find a small covert cell within the congregation who have another Messiah, who is not fully God, who is come in the flesh. What they have is a powerful demon religious spirit that goes with the ground given by the age-old Arian heresy, which is the synagogue of Satan, with which all of the apostles did earnestly contend. In the first century, there were Jewish synagogues that did profess that Yeshua was the Messiah, while denying he was God. This Hebrew spin of the common Jehovah Witnesses, or Christadelphia heresy, is deadly and damnable heresy. That's part of the reason why the simple and yet profound test of the spirits is so important. Just ask him to say, Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Those in the secret and or sacred name heresy groups will find that simple test of the spirit to be very difficult. And I have yet to see the Satanists who could pass that simple test of the spirits without great difficulty. Many will say Yeshua did come in the flesh, or Messiah has come in the flesh. Though true, that is still failing the simple test of the Spirit. The is-come profession involves the acknowledgement that Jesus, Yeshua, is fully God, the I Am, who spoke to Abraham and Moses, who is both Creator and Redeemer. If you find some Messianic rabbi today who has the slightest hitch or reluctance to boldly confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, beware. The more you apply that simple test of the spirits, the more you'll be amazed at how effective and powerful that simple test of the spirits is to remove the sheep's clothing from the wolves. Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. That simple statement will disclose many subtle, damnable heretics in these last days of strong delusion. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work, of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. we will labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, for we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. Again, he limits a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but certain fearful looking for judgments and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. But the day of the Lord will come, as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us.